Psalms chapter 71, we're going to read this morning verses 5 through 9. 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 will be our text, and read these verses together. All right, let's stand, please, in honor of God's good word today. And when we're done reading and having prayer, we'll have a special, and then I'll be right up, and we'll jump into the message this morning. Psalm chapter 71, let's read these responsively, meaning please join me on the even-numbered verses as we read down through verses 5 through 9. Verse 5 says, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Let's pray together and we'll get into the message after the special. Dear Father, I want to thank You this morning for every elderly person in this room. Thank You, dear Lord, for the good number of elderly people that have come our way over the years. And then, Lord, some that have been here for these 16 years are now in that category. They weren't 16 years ago, but they would be considered that way now. And Lord, I pray that You'll especially pique their attention this morning. And everybody's in this room, Lord, if You stay in heaven, Jesus, and don't come back to this earth for a while, and time passes and we live, all of us will reach the age of old age. Thank You, God, that You are a God for those of that category. Help me this morning. May the message be a blessing and an encouragement. Speak to every heart here, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Jesus passed by my way, and He made me whole that day. Just a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by. Blind man was sitting there by the way. He cried to Jesus for mercy that day. Jesus commanded and He gave His sight. So he followed Jesus, and I'm sure he cried, "Jesus passed."
Amen. Enjoyed that this morning. Gentlemen, thank you. I want to draw your attention to verses. I've got several verses in this chapter that I want to draw your attention to throughout the course of the message. But let me just look with me at verse number 9. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Now look at verse number 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the song of the aged. The song of the aged. And as I said earlier, I guess this is a message maybe targeted this morning for those who would be in that senior citizen category. Believe you me, friend, if you're not there now, you'll be there a lot quicker than you think and realize. And so I want to speak this morning. You listen carefully. There'll be something in here for you as well if you're not in that age category. And I'll tell you why I'm doing this in just a few minutes. The song of the aged. This is Grandparents' Day, and I figured we'd have some a good group of senior citizens here this morning. And I want to speak on that subject, the song of the aged. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for your word. It includes everybody. No one is left out of your great plan. No one's left out in your word. You speak to the infants. You speak to the children, to the young people, dear Lord, to the young men, those young adult men and the young women, the young adult women. And then, dear Father, you speak to the aged. And I pray this morning that you'll use me to be a voice to them. I pray that you'll reach down like a carpenter would grab a tool out of his pouch and work on something. I pray that, Lord, you'll use me that way today. Use me, I pray, as a tool, a blessing, encouragement, and help to the folks in this room who would need it this morning. May every heart be a good ground recipient of the Word of God today. In Jesus' name I ask, and amen. If you look at your Bible there, Psalm 71, there is no heading over this psalm as there are many others. In other words, you'll see a psalm of David, a song of Moses, so forth and so on. By the way, the word psalm simply means song. So what you've got here is you've got 150 songs in the book of Psalms. It's a book of singing. It's a book of music, if you will. The Bible tells us in this New Testament age, we're supposed to admonish one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But there's no heading over this psalm as there are several others. Many people believe, though, that it is written by David, as many of the psalms in this section of the psalms are. Now, many call this psalm the Psalm of the Aged, or the Song of the Aged, written when the author was up in years. Now, it seems like business has come up with some special day or occasion every month, or sometimes even twice a month, for us to, it involves some type of buying, it involves getting cards or gift bags or something for people. You know, I was thinking about this. When I was a boy, you had Valentine's Day, you had Mother's Day, you had Father's Day. And those were special occasions that you went out and celebrated. You know, you bought your mother a card or your sweetheart a card or your dad a card. But now there seems like I don't know if it's big business that's creating this. It seems like it's every other week is somebody's day or somebody's week. And you got to run out, you know, and get a card of thanks or whatever, you know, recognition. And I'm sure some of it is just to keep us running to the store, amen, and spending our money. But I'm going to say this. I'm glad we set aside, I don't know who did it, but I'm glad somebody set aside a Grandparents' Day. I believe that's a worthy day. And not just because I'm a grandparent this year, okay? I believe it's been a worthy day for a number of years here. And about annually in our church, we recognize it. We don't always have a message along the lines of grandparents or whatever, but we usually recognize the grandparents about every year, like we do moms and dads on their special day. It is good, the Bible says, to give honor to whom honor is due. And we need to honor those who have lived long, those who live 65 and 70. And you say right away, look, because I'm a grandparent doesn't mean I'm 65. Okay, I'm with you. All right, amen. But many grandparents are 65 and 70 and 75 and 80. And it's right to honor those who've lived this long. It's right to recognize those. No doubt much has been learned about life that can be passed down to younger people and that can benefit young people from those that we call senior citizens. We have many of them in this room this morning. And I'll say this, many of the messages preached from pulpits deal with young people. You can just take stock of an entire year's worth of messages and see how many of those messages were directed at young people. See how many of them were directed at kids. See how many of them directed at teenagers. See how many of them are directed at young couples with children at home and families and so forth. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. Much attention needs to be given to help rear a family in this day and age. But really, not much time and attention is given from pulpits to help and encourage those who are up in years. That's the honest truth. When I first came to Bourbonnais 16 years ago, we had very few elderly people in this church. Very few gray-haired folks in this church. There was Miss Spivey and Miss Clifton. Both of those ladies were shut in. Both of them, Mrs. Clifton came for some time, but Sarah Spivey couldn't, and then Mrs. Clifton got to where she couldn't come. There was Mrs. Underwood. I think when I came here, Ms. Rigney, you were 70 years of age just at that time. But I'm talking about Mrs. Clifton and Mrs. Spivey and Mrs. Underwood. They were up in their late 70s, early 80s. There were very few in our church in those days who were in that category, senior citizens. That was 16 years ago. Most of the folks that began to come to church were, within 5 years of my age. I was 33. And folks began to come between the ages of like 25 and 40. I suppose because that's what they kind of say. You're going to attract a crowd that's more your age. That's why it's important to bring in some assistant pastors who are young. You want to keep a hook in younger people. But then God began to send us a good group of senior saints over the years. And that makes me happy. I'm always glad for the young families. I'm always glad to see the kids running around. Don't get tired of that. I've been to churches where there are no children. And it's just not good, folks. It's just something missing. Thank God for the kids. And you realize how many teenagers are in the other room this morning and how many young kids in the other building. And there's a bunch of kids around here, and I'm glad for that. I'm glad for the families with young children and so forth. But I'm also very thankful for the gray-haired people. I am thankful for the senior citizens. I'm thankful for those who are 65, who are 70, 75, and 80. They add something to a church. Just like families with small children add something to a church. Those senior citizens add a lot to a church. Nothing is more powerful than the testimony of an older person who has given their life in faithfulness to God. Like Caleb, we preached about last Sunday morning. Remember that? 85 years of age. And he followed the Lord wholly. He followed the Lord fully. He followed the Lord fearlessly. He followed the Lord faithfully. At age 85, what a testimony he was. What a great influence he was on the young people of the children of Israel. And it ought to be the goal of every person under age 50 to reach 65 and 70 and 75 and 80 years of age if God gives you that much life. It ought to be your goal to reach those years still following the Lord. I want to say this. I look at some of you who are 85 and 84. And there's Brother John back there in his 90s. And some of you who are 75. And I see your faithfulness and I see your activity for God. I'll be honest with you. I've said many times to people, I hope when I'm that age, God gives me the life, not only the life, the health, not only the health, but the desire to serve God like some of you folks have at age 70 and 75. I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's not as easy as it was at 30. Not as easy as it was at 40. It gets more difficult. The body balks at you. Doesn't want to move as much. And you say you talk like you're there. I'm not there yet. Thank God for that. But I've had elderly grandparents. And I've worked with senior citizens in the church ministry all these years. The old body starts to gripe and complain about pushing it just to serve the Lord. So you folks that have reached that age and you're faithful to God, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I thank God for you. It would not be a complete church without the gray-haired people in this auditorium this morning. And I mean that with all of my heart. Now I want to say a couple things about the song of the aged. The psalm of the aged here. Several references to old age in this psalm. Listen very carefully. The song of the aged contains testimony. The song of the aged contains testimony. Look at verse number 5 that we read there just a minute ago. Here's what the aged man said. He said, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Here was his testimony. He learned very early in life to trust in God. Very early in life to trust in God. One of the greatest blessings in old age is a youth well spent trusting God. That's one of the great blessings of old age. a youth well spent trusting in God. And David had that testimony. Some of you had that testimony this morning. Now, others do not. Some of you were saved later on in life. But we've got gray-haired people this morning here, senior citizens here. You've learned from a very early age to trust in God. I love the stories of David when he was a youth, his tending to his father's sheep faithfully, and his taking care of that lion and that bear as God gave him energy. The lion came and David killed him. And the bear came to get the sheep and David killed him. Nobody else was out there but David tending those sheep by himself. Who did he trust in those days? He trusted in God. Tending those sheep. Being anointed the king of Israel. Behaving himself wisely through his youthfulness. Taking on Goliath, we believe, as a 17-year-old young man. Taking on a giant over 9 feet tall with a slingshot and a rock. I mean, brother, if you don't believe that David had learned to trust in God in his youth, there's no other explanation. The only explanation. He had learned to trust in God. And friend, you can learn to trust in God. You know, I love this. God is not a God who gets involved in your life at age 30. God is not a God who waits till you're age 45. God is not a God who waits to your age 50. God gets involved in your life at age 5. He gets involved in your life at age 6 and 10 and 15 and 18. And young people in this room need to listen this morning. Start now cultivating a great trust in God. You can trust God. You may not be able to trust every man, but you can trust God. You can trust God to be true. Brother, He's always true. You can trust Him to be faithful. You can trust Him to be compassionate. You can trust God to be available to meet your needs. You can learn to trust in God as this man did from his youth. I'm talking to folks this morning, senior citizens, who could stand and you could give a testimony about learning to trust in God as a young man, as a young lady. And through the years, you found God to be faithful. You found God to be true. You found God to be compassionate. You found God to be there when all others left you. You found God's presence there. David learned to trust in God. But there's a second part of this testimony. Not only did he learn at an early age to trust in God, he learned at an early age to be taught of God. Look at verse number 17 in the same chapter. David said this, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth. Not only did he learn to trust in God as a youth, but he learned very early to be taught of God. David recalled many lessons the Lord God had taught him. When? From his youth. From his youth as a child. You see, God taught him as he watched his father's sheep. And God taught him as he obeyed his father. And God taught him as he confronted Goliath. And God taught him as he befriended Jonathan. And God taught him as he was hunted by Saul. David was hunted by Saul like a man would hunt for a partridge. Saul employed sometimes as many as 3,000 soldiers to hunt after David. And David's testimony late in life was, those things were not against me. They may not have been fun to enjoy. They may not have been convenient. But all through those circumstances, the good ones and the bad ones, the difficult ones and the easy ones, through them all, God taught me. And there's senior citizens who could stand this morning and say, Pastor, you're right. All the time from my youth, I look back over the fun things in life. I look back over the difficult things in life. I look back over those mountain peaks and I look back over those valleys and I realize that all through those experiences, God was teaching me, teaching me, teaching me. Oh, to have a heart that God can teach as a young person, as a youth. That was his testimony. I learned to trust in God as a youth and God taught me from my youth. I want to challenge the young people in this room this morning. Let God teach you. Have a heart that God can teach. Oh yes, go to school like we preached a couple Sunday nights ago. And be serious about your academic education. Learn all the facts and learn all the figures and learn all the statistics that make for a good education. But young people, don't miss the most important lessons in life. Those lessons that God is trying to teach you as a young person. I'm talking to some young people here this morning who are enduring very difficult circumstances in your home. Very difficult circumstances. I'm talking about, you know, folks, we don't preach, regardless of, you know, I don't know if you take time about this from time to time or not, we're cutting in and out again on this microphone. I don't know if you take time to think about it, but I want to tell you something. This is very, not everybody sitting in this room is at peaches and cream right now in their life. And I'm not talking about just the adults, I'm talking about children too. unto my children whose daddies have walked out on them. Sit in this service week after week after week. Children who've endured a broken relationship between mom and dad at home. And those things aren't fun. And those things leave wounds. And those things leave scars. And those things are bitter pills to swallow. But kids, listen to me this morning. Listen to me. God will teach you through all of those circumstances if you'll let Him. He'll teach you. He teaches you through the good. He teaches you through the bad. He teaches you through the easy. He teaches you through the difficult. But God will teach you. David's testimony was, I learned to trust in God from a youth. And all through my youthful years, God was teaching me. I was privileged as a boy to have saved grandparents. I was a privileged as a boy to have a saved grandma, a saved grandpa, and a saved meemaw, and a saved pawpaw. I was privileged to have them. And Pawpaw died very early age in my, I was either 5 or 6 years of age when Pawpaw died. And my grandfather, Angel, didn't live, I think I was 11 when he died. But man, my grandmother's lived on until I was married and beyond. And all the blessings of that. And I'll never forget them talking with them and spending time with them and the lessons that my grandmother learned and the lessons that my meemaw learned as a youth. God taught them. They learned to trust in God. My meemaw was not raised in a Christian home. Her daddy was a murderer. His daddy took a gun and killed her. Her daddy took a gun and killed a man. Daddy Jerd. All of her sisters were pregnant out of wedlock. All of them. She left home when she was age 14. Raised in Tennessee on the ridges of those mountains there. And she had holes in the slatted floor where the snakes would crawl in to get out of the winter. I'm talking about poor. I'm talking about dirt poor. Are you listening? And you know, he might want to be taken out to a kid's service. And the ushers will help you if you want to just slip out that door back there. That'd be a help. Maybe help the people around you pay attention better. He'd have a better time than listening to me drone on this morning anyway. Amen. So if one of you ushers, I don't see an usher, Brother Joe. Oh, you go, Brother Tom. Thank you. Be an assist to this lady. That'll be a help this morning. All right? And that's okay. You know, Ben, we don't expect that age to sit up and be interested in a sermon on old age. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, though, but seriously, now back to what I was saying. My grandmother, you know, she wasn't saved till later. She wasn't saved till she was in Atlanta, Georgia. She left home at age 14. But I want to tell you something. I value those conversations with a grandma and a meemaw who learned from their youth to trust in God and who were taught of God through all the circumstances in their life. And my grandmother, my meemaw, some of you got to meet her in the early days here. She was never bitter about her upbringing. Never bitter about it. It was hard. It was mean. Her daddy was mean. Her husband was mean. My pawpaw was mean. An alcoholic, a drunk, when they got married. She didn't know that until after she married him. It is hard. But kids, you listen to me. Teenagers, listen. Everybody, God teaches us through the easy times and God teaches us through the difficult times. Have a heart that God can teach all through your youth. And I want to tell you something. There are people in this room who came through extremely difficult circumstances who could tell you, God taught me through those circumstances all the way. He taught me. Boy, there's something about old age, the experience, what they learned in life from God as God taught them. That's the testimony of the aged that we find here. He was trusting in God as a youth. He was taught by God in his youth. But listen, not only does the song of the aged contain testimony, the song of the aged contains fear. The song of the aged contains fear. You know what comes with older age? Natural insecurities. Insecurities, normal and natural insecurities come with older age. Men and women who were very confident for years and years can become very insecure and unsure in the later years of life. And after trusting God from his youth, and after being taught of God in his youth, David, as an older man, expressed some of those fears. Look at verse number 9. Look at the man who just said he learned to trust in God from his youth. Look at what he said. Cast me not off in the time of my old age. What? Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Folks, this was the man who was taught to trust in God from his youth. But he's not young anymore. He's old. He's aged. And the confidence of youth is eluding his grasp. And now as an older man, he says, God, don't forsake me. God, don't leave me. There are insecurities, there are fears that accompany growing old. Look at verse number 18. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. He said, God, don't leave me now. You've been my trust. You've been my teacher for all these years. But now I'm older and the confidence of my youth is no longer with me. Let me say to senior citizens in this room this morning that God is not like our greedy society. You say, what are you talking about? The what have you done for me lately society. And if you can't do something for me, you're of no usefulness to me. If you can't bring anything to the table, then just don't come. That's our society. You see it everywhere. You see it with entertainers. They make people laugh for a while, and when they can't make people laugh, they're put out to pasture. You see it with ball players. They entertain people for a while, and as soon as they can't hit the ball or catch the ball, they're put out to pasture. If you can't do something for me now, don't even show up at the table. I'm going to tell you, senior citizens, God is not like that. God is not like, what can you do for me lately? Brother, I want to tell you something. If you haven't, to the aged person this morning in this room, let me say, you may be a step or two or more slower. You may be at that place this morning. You may not have the energy level you used to have. That energy level is gone. Your grip may not be as strong as it once was. I visited James Kent yesterday. James Kent's a big man. He's one of the few men in this church. I'm 6'3". He's one of the few men in the church that I had to look up to. He's just a little taller than I am. And boy, I remember his grip was strong. You'd shake hands with James Kent, he'd just grip your hand. Boy, it was strong. But he's been in this nursing home now for months. And his old age, and he's up in the 80s now. And you shake hands with Brother James now, and it's just it's a limp, weak shake. He's up in years. That may be you this morning. Your grip may not be as strong as it once was. Your steps may be less certain. Your leap may not be as high as it once was. Your eyesight might be dimmer than it ever has been. Your hearing may not be as sharp as it once was. Your hands may not be as steady. I get around the dear older people of our church here and I see their hands sometimes shake. My heart goes out to them. There was points in their life when their hand was steady as a rock. Steady. I see our insurance man, Brother Ken Sisk, a good Christian man, and he comes to meet with us occasionally. We met with him recently about updating our insurance. And Brother Ken, I noticed just the other day, boy, his hands just beginning to tremble and shake, and he keeps them up against himself. And even when he tries to put them up against himself, his hands are shaking. And it doesn't bother me in the least. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You get to that point in life where your hands may not be as steady as they once were. Your steps may be slower. Your eyesight may be dimmer. Your hearing may not be as sharp. Your grip may not be as firm. Your steps may not be as certain. Listen to me. None of those things affect or change the love and the care and the concern and the provisions of God for you. He is not a God of those who can do something for Him. He is a God of everyone who is His child. You may feel like, I just can't be. I'm not what I used to be. I can't do what I used to do. I'm telling you this morning, God is not a God of what have you done for me lately. He is a God of compassion, love, and concern. God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, Satan will try to lie to you. Because that's his nature. He is a liar. And he doesn't just lie to children. He lies to senior citizens. He lies to everybody. Look at his lies. Look at verse number 10 in this passage. Look at there. For mine enemies speak against me. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. What a lie. God doesn't forsake his own. God, nobody ever gets too old that God loses interest. Nobody gets too weak that God loses interest. Nobody's steps become so faltering or unsure that God loses interest. No one's grip becomes so weak that God loses interest. That's a lie of the devil. God is very interested in you, just like you are when you get to be this age. Very interested in you. I was visiting one of our senior citizens yesterday. Another one who was praising God. I mean praising God. Over some things God had done for her lately. I mean, she said, I just walked around in here and said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Jesus, and made me feel about that tall, the things that she was thankful for. I've got some of that in four times the size of what she was thanking God. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about something else. She was thanking God for it, and her heart was so full, and her heart was so rejoicing. I could have crawled out from underneath her door. God so smote my heart. Huh? I'm going to tell you something. God is interested in you. And God is concerned about you. And you may not be 35 and 45 in the height of the strength of your youth like you used to be. But God doesn't lose interest when you get 65 and 70 and 75 and 80 and 85. You've got a God who's right there concerned with you every step of the way. It's a lie of the devil for you to believe that God doesn't care about you. He does. They were trying to tell David that he wouldn't have any part of it. And let me say this. Don't buy into the devil's lie that you have nothing to offer anyone either. He'll try to get you to think you don't have anything to offer anybody. Look at me. I can't sing. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I have to get along with faltering footsteps. I'm not worth anything to anybody. That's a lie from Satan. You are worth something. Look at verse number 18. David prayed, Lord, don't forsake me until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. You have no idea what your testimony, you have no idea what your faithfulness says to those who are coming behind you. You're building a bridge, dear senior citizen. That's what you're doing. People are coming behind you, and they're looking at you, and they see that faithfulness. Listen to me. What does it say about people? When these senior citizens who are 80 years of age, 90, show up here for service after service after service after service, never miss. What a testimony. Those in their 70s, what a testimony. They never miss. They don't have a life. They have a great life. It's called faithfulness. Some of the younger people ought to try it out. Yeah. It's called testimony. That's what it's called. You have no idea what your presence in this, just your presence in this church means. You have no idea what your faithfulness to God means to your own children and grandchildren. Every time I'm around Randy Taylor, you know what he mentions? His daddy's faithfulness down at Open Door Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas. My daddy's still on the bus route down there. My daddy's still treasurer of the church. I'm not talking about Randy Jr. I'm talking about the Randy that's my age, the evangelist that was just here on tent meeting Sunday. He mentions his dad's faith. How about Daryl Murphy? He preached here just a few weeks ago. Every time Brother Murphy comes, who does he talk about? My dad back in Minnesota still on the bus route. My dad back in Minnesota still faithfully serving God. Up in years, that do a pretty good Daryl Murphy imitation. Amen. Amen, neighbor. Yeah. He still talks about his dad. Sure. Hey, listen to me, senior citizen. You have no idea. Those of you that are faithful in pushing your bodies and beyond the energy that you used to have and the grip that you used to have and the step that you used to have and the eyesight that you used to have, you keep serving and you're faithful and you love God. And Satan comes and says, you're worth nothing to anybody. He's a liar. You're worth 10 billion. You're worth 10 million. Oh, stay at it. Your presence in itself is a great blessing. I mean a great blessing. It would be a sad day at Faith Baptist Church to look out over the congregation and not see some gray hair. And I know I'm talking to some folks. Yours would be gray if you didn't use something from the store. Amen. Or gone, Brother Swanson. Amen. All right. Amen. Yes. I'm talking to this. You hear messages to families with kids. You hear messages to teenagers over and over again. How about a message from the pulpit this morning to those who are senior citizens, those who are up in age, those who are like this David here in this psalm when he wrote and talked about his old age. God, don't forsake me and don't cast me off now and don't leave me now. I need you, dear God. Don't fear, senior citizen. If you're faithful to God, boy, God will, He will take care. He'll bless. He'll help. God will be the same God now at age 70 and 80 that He's always been, by the way. If you don't believe the Bible's true, just talk to some of these folks. The Bible promises 70, that's 70 years. And it says if by reason of strength they reach 80, 80, they'll be full of trouble. And it seems like, boy, people that live beyond 70 get to 75. It seems like 79 and 80 and 82 and 83. Boy, the old body just starts to break down at that age in life because the Bible says it will. That's what happens. I'm going to tell you something, Nick. Listen very carefully. If you're this age, if you're that age this morning, you hear me and hear me well. You've got a God who's as acutely interested in you as He is that newborn baby back there in that nursery. Amen and amen. Let me say this. The most important thing for any age, but obviously for the older age people, is to know that you're on your way to heaven when you leave this earth. Now, it may not be, we may not live to be the age of some of you folks in this room. I may never see 60. I don't know that. We don't know when that day will come. We have no idea. But obviously, folks, logic tells you that the older you get, probably the less time you have. Amen? Yeah, the older you get, probably the less time you have. Now, the greatest comfort, the older you get, the greatest comfort would be the comfort of the assurance of your salvation, knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. That's the greatest assurance in all the world. The greatest assurance in all the world. Look at David. He talks about it. Look at verse number 15. Look at what he says here. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. Like what he says. For I know not the numbers thereof. David said, you know what? This matter of being saved, I know not the numbers thereof. There are so many blessings. There are so many joys. There's so much good that comes with being saved, I can't even number them. You want to have that kind of testimony when you get to be 70 years of age. You say, well, isn't that important for somebody who's 30? Yep. But they may have more years than those who get to 70. You need to know that you're on your way to heaven. You need to know that when you draw your last breath here on this earth, your next breath will be taken up in that celestial city called heaven. You need to know that. And you can know that. Look at verse 22 and 23. Look what David said. He said, I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. I like what he says, verse 23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. David said, I know I'm saved. I'm a redeemed person. I'm bought by the precious blood of Christ. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There is no greater joy than knowing when I face death on this earth, it'll be just temporary. It'll be a shadow. He's the one that said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say the valley of death. He called it a shadow. I've said before, friend, there's a big difference. If you're standing beside a track on the east side, the tracks are running north and west, north and south, and you're standing on the east side of the track and the sun is setting over here to the west and that train goes roaring by you and the shadow of that train crosses over you as you stand there, there's a big difference in that shadow crossing over you and that train hitting you. And if you're not saved, your death's going to hit you like it's going to hit you like a train. It's going to be a horrible experience. But if you're saved, you'll say with David, when that time comes, it won't hit me like a train. It'll be like a shadow. Shadow passing over me. That's the assurance David had. When he came down to that last moment on this earth, he had the assurance that he was going to that celestial city called heaven. Oh, the comfort, oh, the joy, oh, the assurance to come to age 70, 75, and 80 and know, K-N-O-W, that you're on your way to heaven. Know it. I hope you can know that this morning. I hope that's your testimony this morning. I've seen older people come to the Lord. It's been a blessing. I've seen older people get saved. I remember out here in Sun River Terrace, and Brother Harper, you were 72 years of age at that time. And I didn't know that he had bad knees. I didn't know that he had to have knee replacement surgery. I showed him how to be saved. Mr. Harper, would you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? And he said, yes, I need to. And I said, let's get on our knees beside the couch here. And I felt so bad as I watched him stand up, and those old knees were so sore. He tried to kneel down by that couch, and I realized what I'd done. I said, no, we don't have to kneel. He said, no, I won't do. Got down on his knees beside that couch at 72 years of age and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. 72. Wayne Rayburn has his back thrown out. Is he not here this morning? 68, I believe, Mary Faye. I believe he was 68 years of age. That's getting up there. 68 years of age, when he had the opportunity to show from the Bible how to be saved. And down, I was sitting in the chair, and I will forget that. And I began to lead Brother Rayburn, Mr. Rayburn at that time, in the sinner's prayer. And I, dear Lord, and so for the song, he didn't say anything. And then I said, Lord, I deserve to go to hell. And he said, oh, I sure do. Oh, God, help me. I need to be saved. Gave his heart to Christ. At every service, sits right back there, smile on his face, give his heart to Christ. 68 years of age. But let me tell you something, listen very carefully. That's not the norm. That's not the norm. I've seen older folks reject Christ. Far more than I want to talk about. Far more than I want to talk about. I've seen older folks reject Christ. The one story I've told here before comes to mind is old Pete Smith out in Iowa. His brother Bud got saved. Brother Brown led Bud Smith to the Lord. And Bud got cancer sometime after that. Didn't live long. Died of cancer. And Brother Brown preached his funeral. Old Pete, his brother. They lived together. Two old fellows lived together. Two brothers. No, Pete wouldn't get saved. About a month after his brother died, I went to see Pete. Andy Davis and myself, we were sitting there on a Tuesday morning. I showed Pete. I said, Pete needed to get saved. And tried to let him ask if I could show him how to get saved. And he sat across the little living room there on a couch. And I said, Pete, you need to get saved. You don't know when you're going to die. Your brother Bud just died. You don't know when you're going to die. I never forget what he did. He stood up over the couch. Came right over to where I was sitting. Leaned his chest down. Right next to my head. Said, can you hear that? I couldn't hear anything. He said, that's a pacemaker. They put that in. They told me I would have 5 or 6 years where I need any help. Walked back to his chair. I said, Pete, you better not talk like that. Now you hear me. A week later on a Friday, I was at the church office and the phone rang. And it was Mr. John Jones from the funeral home said, Terry, Pete Smith died this morning. 10 days after I tried to get him to get saved. 10 days. He says he's going to live 5 or 6 years. In 10 days, Pete Smith died after rejecting Jesus Christ. Friend, the most important thing in all the world is to know that you're saved. On your way to heaven. Huh? And the more important is the older you are. Now, you know why it's so hard for older folks to give their hearts to Christ? Because you got years and years and years of trusting in everything else but Jesus. What you need to do is humble yourself. Say, God, if that's the way it is, I don't want to leave this world without Christ. I want to come and receive Jesus as my personal Savior. And I beg you this morning. You know what? I beg you, no matter what age you are, if you're 77 or 7 or anywhere in between and you don't know that you're saved, I beg you to come and trust Christ this morning as your Savior. Because that's the most important thing, no matter what age you are. Amen. And amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me just say a word before we close the service. You're very, very patient. I appreciate you listening there. Let me ask this. Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I've been saved. And I know where I'm going when I die. And I don't mind raising my hand as a testimony. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand this morning? Would you please be honest? Please be honest. Don't be dishonest. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there one or more this morning would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I didn't raise my hand just now. I do not know for sure that I'm saved, but I am concerned about it. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Put it right up. Put it right back down. I see one hand. God bless you. Somebody else. Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure about it. I died right now to where I'd spend eternity. The Lord spoke to my heart this morning about it. Pastor, pray for me at the closing invitation just a moment. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody like that? Front to back, side to side, member or visitor, not sure that I'm saved. I know who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. I've not been baptized in deep water. Haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism since I've been saved. Pray for me. That's why I came this morning, in fact, to be obedient, believer's baptism. Or no, I haven't been. I need to be. Would you raise your hand, please, while we wait? Let me pray for you. God bless you. If you came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you're ready to do that. Now's the time to come while we wait. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. You come, you have everything we need. For you. We have everything you need to follow the Lord in baptism this morning. Now, you're saved. You've been baptized. Christian, I wonder this morning if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart. Maybe you're a senior citizen here. You say, Pastor, you know what? Just a reminder. I'm thankful for God's care. And yes, some of the things you said are true. I'm not as sure as I used to be. I'm not as steady as I used to be. And there are insecurities and fears that come with old age. But I'm glad I've got a God of the aged with me. And Pastor, pray that in my later years I'll be faithful. And I'll serve Him true. Pray for me this morning, or anybody that God spoke to your heart this morning. Would you raise your hand? I see many hands. God bless you. That's wonderful. That's great. God bless you. Take your hands down. Now, dear Father, we preached your word this morning. Thank you so much for the privilege to do so. God, we come to you now asking and praying that if there's a need that needs to be met during this invitation time, may it be met, I pray. Lord, please, I pray for anybody in this room who's unsaved, not sure of heaven. I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. I pray they'd come to receive Christ. Lord, there's some that need to be baptized. I pray they would come. Be obedient to Christ, this matter of baptism. Then, Lord, I thank you for these that lifted a hand this morning. You spoke to the heart during the meat of the message. Lord, thank you that you're a God for every age person, and especially those of that elderly age bracket. We thank you and love you for that this morning. What a great God we serve. Thank you, Lord. Now, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. In just a moment, we're going to stand and have a song of invitation. The ladies are going to play on the instruments. When they do, if you're not sure that you're saved, this is your opportunity. Come right down here to the front. Tell Brother Caleb, I need to be saved. We have ladies to talk to women. We have men to talk to men. They're in place with their Bibles. They're ready to show you how to be saved this morning. If you've not been baptized, now's the time to be obedient to Christ or use the altar as God spoke to your heart. All right, let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing this morning. Would you come? Do what the Lord tells you to do this morning. If you're not saved, my goodness, don't leave. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, please. Let us have somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Would you come this morning? While we wait. While we wait. While we wait, would you come? Those insecurities, those fears, those normal things that we begin to battle as you get a little older, God is there for each of those. Each one. We'll wait this morning. If you have time, if you want to think about it for a moment, if you want to come and let somebody take a Bible and show you how to be saved, we have time. We'll take the time for you.